our dear scientists have discovered this thing that can easily grow crops or for crops to easily not rotten and all, but we haven't used it in the Philippines. But India and Vietnam are using the Philippine technology for their rice.
Hi Zesties, welcome to Vanilla Zest Podcast, where we share the sweet, sour, and zesty flavors of life. Way back in the day, the term entrepreneur was associated with a male's role, but with the continuous and conscious efforts of us women who push for gender equality, this is no longer true today. Women are now rising in this field. And not only because they or we weren't rising in this field before, but because society hasn't recognized it yet. But it's about time. So I'm excited to speak with one of our up-and-coming womanpreneurs in the Philippines. She is a digital marketer for 12 years and counting for a US-based online marketing company, handling online marketing strategies such as organic search, paid search, social media, content marketing, and reputation management. Few of the things she loves doing are traveling, mountain hiking, and reading books. She is also the co-founder of Cebu Book Club, a group of book enthusiasts in Cebu, Philippines. She started her own business, and today she will share to us her journey so far, her challenges, and tips for up-and-coming womanpreneurs around the world. Please welcome Giselle. Hi, Giselle. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Glee, and hi, Zistis. Hello.
Welcome, welcome. So you've been a digital marketer for more than a decade now. So yes. What prompted you to start a business?
Actually, growing up, I am surrounded with a business-minded family. So even with kindergarten or even when just a child, I was in elementary that my aunt used to ask me to take good care of their store. So they have a sari-sari store. So elementary, high school, and college, every time it's sem break in college, I used to watch the store for them. So that's why I think that's the start of my being a business-minded person. Then from there, growing up, I always wanted to own my business because I always hear that the only way, or not the only way, but to be financially free. That's because I wanted to be financially free like anyone else. So business is the right path to go. So that's why I was thinking, okay, I wanted to have my own business in the future to help my family, to help myself. That's why I started to feel like I wanted to have my own business.
All right. It's like the old adage, start them young, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So for our non-Filipino listeners, so sari-sari store is translated as mixed store, where it's
a family-owned.
Family-owned store.
Mini store?
Mini store. I think it's usually in the house, store. Right?
Yeah, like you just have to build it in front of your house, or you have a small space where you can sell like everything from rice, from anything you can sell.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's sari-sari, which means mixed.
Mix store.
Is it your first business right now? Or you've started way back before?
Actually, I started my business 2016. Yes, 2016. Then 2017. Then I stopped a year or more than a year. Then just during the pandemic, I have to get it back or have to relaunch my business.
How were you able to launch the business in the pandemic?
Because it's pandemic, so there are a lot of layoffs. But I'm glad that we haven't had a layoff in our company, but since it's pandemic, we only have a pay cut. And that means slash in the pay. So I had to think of other ways and other means to compensate that slash of pay. That's why I was thinking, oh, maybe it's time to relaunch my business and help myself and also if others, because I was also thinking maybe if I relaunch my tableya business, then I can also help those tableya makers for them to increase their sales if possible. And actually, it started because I have a cousin that is getting married, and she was thinking of something that she can give as a present or as a giveaway. So I tell them, why don't you have tableya as a giveaway? To have a different giveaway, it's organic, it's healthy, and everyone can use it. Both of them, the couple agrees to have it, and I have them created for them. And that's the start that I was thinking, okay, relaunch the tableya also together with this. So that's the spark together of the thoughts to compensate the income loss during the pandemic. So yes.
That was good thinking, that because most people wouldn't have that the courage or bravery to start something new in the pandemic. But I guess, of course, there is this necessity and the opportunity, right?
Yes. Let's say, if you're in the edge of the cliff, then you will really think of something to survive. I think that's one of mine. We need to survive, then think of other ways.
For our non-Filipino listeners, so tableya is, it's like a local cocoa.
Yeah. It's basically a dark, 100% dark chocolate made of 100% cocoa.
Yes. And back when we were kids, most of the Filipino families, they have the tableya and then they cook it or melt it with the rice, and which we call champurado, right?
Yeah, it's a chocolate porridge. Yep. And yeah, when we were kids, we drink every day like sikwate. So sikwate is our favorite local chocolate drink. So it's basically a tableya, then a melted tableya. You boil water, add tableya, add sugar, and that's it. So you have your 100% cocoa drink. I'm sad to hear that actually a lot of kids now doesn't know about tableya anymore. Oh. And a lot of Filipinos doesn't make tableya anymore. Maybe because it's also a bit of time consuming. If you know how to, I'm not sure if you create your own tableya, if you still drink your sikwatigli, are you?
Unfortunately here, no. It's even no. Hard for me to find some ingredients, like I really, really love binignit. And I cannot find the landang. There are actually some Filipino shops here in Brisbane. Mm. But I think I was just too lazy, I guess, to find them as well. And I haven't made binignit before in my life. So,
yeah. Right. And also people are young adults like us, because of like everyone is so busy working, everyone wanted to have an instant drink. So coffee is the easiest. There are a lot of easy drinks that you can just add hot water. But with tableya, you can do that, but the texture is different. If you don't have that traditional baterol, it's like a metal with a whisk, and you whisk it. You just mix the tableya in hot water. You have to do it for about 10 minutes, but with baterol, you can do it for just 5 or 7 minutes. Mm-hmm. Since our time now is we need something to drink fast and easy, so that's why everything has to be instant, and tableya always is not that instant. So that's why I think that's why people are not keen, especially those who are like us that needs to be in the office early. Really needs to drink something that can be made easily. One of my goals really is to promote tableya, to promote that, oh, we should relive it, we should drink it, people should drink it, family should have it, every Filipino should learn how to make a sikwati, because that's our tradition, that's our culture. one of my goals to promote si Kwate, to promote Tableya.
That's a very altruistic goal as well. I know that the Filipino culture is quite mixed, but
yes,
the old traditions kind of blended or faded away already.
Yeah, but yeah, I agree with you. It's faded with time, since also most of our traditions will take time and effort to make. And with the fast-paced world now, everyone is like, let's make everything quick, everything as much as possible. Things should be easy. Everything should be easy access. Everything should be instant.
Yes.
So maybe that's why some of the traditions are left out, left behind, faded. I love that term that you said, faded. Because it's actually what's happening. That's why, as much as possible, if we can help, if I can help, then that's it. Actually, that's the reason also why I wanted to start this business, because at the very beginning, I was thinking of having my own business to be financially free. But I was thinking of, what business should I start? Should I make a store? But there are a lot of stores already. And if I would create a store, like, it's the budget. I need money, but I don't have that much money. So I was thinking, what will I do? Then I realized that in our family, we have this Tableya business. So my uncle and some of my aunties, is we make our own Tableya. So, but as time goes by, my uncle's patron, it's getting less and less every time. Those old ones, they don't have it. They don't drink it anymore. The only ones that remains are either old people or Chinese, because I'm not sure why, but Chinese people love hot chocolate. Like,
oh.
My patrons are Filipino Chinese. So I was thinking of what business. Then I realized I would want to sell Tableya. I wanted to continue the family business. And I don't want our family business to stop just in my uncle, because personally right now, I don't know how to make our Tableya. But my goal, personal goal, is I wanted to learn how to make one. Because there are a lot of families in our place. When I was young, most of my neighbors, they made their own sikwate, they make their own Tableya. But now, I think there are only several families or households in our place that make their own Tableya, because going to the metropolis to have a work is more enticing than creating Tableya and selling it, because it's also like a legacy. Then I also learned stories from my neighbors that they are not making Tableya anymore, because aside from there are lesser demand, the cost in making it is they are paid less than supposed to be, and the Tableya that we had is handcrafted. So it's like a artisanal homemade Tableya. They don't use any machine on creating it. All of it is just by hands and created at home. So I was thinking, maybe if I can sell it, then I have my own business. I can help my uncle. I can retain the family legacy, the family tradition, and I can also help our neighbors.
Yes, going back to what you've mentioned before, it's to learn the Tableya making, right? It's like a backward integration and forward integration. So you will have more ground to cover. The current supply is it from in Cebu or some other provinces?
My Tableya, I call it Tableya Kisses, because it's shaped like the Hershey's Kisses, but we did not copy it from the Hershey's Kisses. So my great grand aunt created the shape of the Tableya.
Hershey's Kisses actually copied.
Actually, it started. I will just want to share to you the story about it, because before, they get the cacao fruits and have it dried, then ground it, then make it as a Tableya paste. Then after that, that's it. If you want to buy a Tableya, they'll just have to crack it or slice it. Then they don't have a shape from that time. Then as many wanted to buy Tableya, then my great-grand realizes that we need to have a shape to have it by pieces. So that's why we have that Kisses shape. But actually, it should be shaped like a chocolate heels, because we're from Bohol. But usually it's shaped like the heels, but since it's handcrafted, then there are it's shaped like a sorting hat of the Harry Potter. So it's either shaped like a sorting hat or it's shaped like a heel. So that's why. And your question is, where do I source my tablaya? So my tablaya is it came from Bohol. It's made by my uncle. Like what I said, it's made by my uncle and our neighbors there in Bohol. Actually, it's in Hagna, Bohol. We have a different shape. It's the Hershey's Kisses like shape, or a sorting hat, if I may say, shape of tablaya. But our cacao is from Davao. So we source our cacao is from Davao. But currently, I heard from the Department of Agriculture that they are also encouraging Boholanos to plant cacao trees because we have a good soil for cacao in Bohol. But currently, it's not enough yet to serve the cacao makers, but because they are also selling it to other provinces. But most of our cacao is coming from Davao, since here in the Philippines, Davao is like the sourcing capital for cacao. So we source the cacao from Davao. Then my tablaya is my uncle who is in Bohol, and our neighbors who is in Canholao, Hagna, Bohol. They made it. Then I have it, sent it here in Cebu, and not I have it sent here in Cebu, and I sell them here in Cebu, as well as I market it online and sell it internationally, nationally and internationally as well.
Oh, great that you've mentioned that, because I wanted to ask as well whether you ship internationally. So yes, in the Philippines, the agriculture, actually, when we were young in the textbooks, we always learned that Philippines has a very good soil to plant on. You know, like all these things, but now it's gone because the Filipinos, or us, we were brought up to think that going to the corporate world is like the best way, the best path.
Working in an office is cooler compared than working with land.
Yeah, exactly. Which is actually a bit twisted, I'd say. And especially now here in Australia, I've realized more. Agriculture really makes the country self-sustaining.
I agree.
Yep. And in Australia, they are very proud that it's Australian made. It's really like, oh, this we buy this because this is Australian made. And unfortunately, in the Philippines, right?
It's different.
Yeah.
Like, we buy things that are, oh, this is from Australia, we have to buy this because this is imported. If it's from the Philippines, that most people like shove it off because it's just made it here. not imported. So that's actually a sad thinking
reality
of us Filipinos. Maybe because of the colonialism that we are brought up, like we praise more if it's made from other countries than from locally made. Though actually currently I'm happy that there are a lot of hashtag support local or local PH campaigns, and the DPI is really pushing forward for local communities to have their own products, create their own, and it's really a good campaign. That I agree with you with that before in our elementary years, you are taught that we have a good soil. Before, we have a lot of farmers that needs to tend on their root crops, but currently most of the farms sadly are turned into subdivided land, housing, and because the farmers before is they farm to send their kids to school so that they can work on their corporate in the corporate world, and nowadays no one is tending their farms anymore. Actually, my uncle has that problem since we have like a small lot for crops, and it's really hard to look for people that will work in the farm. And maybe because the pay is also small, our farmers are not highly compensated enough for them to sustain the agriculture business.
It's like a downward spiral, I feel, right? The farmers farm because they want their kids to go to the corporate world, and you know, it's just going down and down. Unfortunately, I've also noticed in some countries like Australia that Actually, farmers are very rich here, and people who own wineries. We have a ice cream shop below our building. We live in an apartment, and that ice cream shop, it's just an ice cream shop, but they own the cows. That,
oh,
you know,
so they have their own
farm.
A dairy or own
Dairy farm. Yeah, so it's and yes, as I mentioned, it's like they're very proud that it's Australian made and stuff. And we also trust it as well. Well, when I moved abroad, it has even broadened my mindset, I guess. We were brought be corporate people.
We were brought up to like, you study hard and work in an office, you study hard. Or we didn't thought of this, that agriculture in the bigger picture.
Yes, unfortunately. And even our government as well, I feel. That's what I feel. I do not want to go into politics, but it's just what we've noticed. It's not given that much attention as it's needed to be.
It's also maybe because, I think it also starts with our education, our learning, our mindset also in the family. Because it's a bit limited, as you've mentioned, and I also mentioned that we are raised thinking that working in a corporate is much better than working in the fields. Maybe because the thinking of working in the field is that we personally like plant crops, we personally do the thing. That thinking that we can hire people to do those things, and hiring them is also helping them. There are people that's not good at school. It's truth. So they can help with that. But we have that notion that agriculture is a business. Agriculture is just a simple thing in our country, maybe because it's basic in most provinces that each family has their own land. So they don't think it like we can make something out of it. And actually, if you think of it, most of the people who has a business mindset regarding with their land or their farm is they're making big out of it. So that's also one thing, maybe changing the mindset of every Filipino kid so that you can make money actually out of your land, after agriculture. For it, you can build something out of it, not build in the sense of building a structure, but you can create a system, a process, having a farm, vegetable lot out of it. I have a cousin. She's married to a seaman, and since they wanted to have kids, he asked her husband not to go overseas and just stayed at home. What he did is they planted vegetables in their ground, in their yard, since they are just a starting family. And they earned a lot from it. And they were thinking that, we can actually earn a lot just from farming and doing vegetables. See if everyone will just open their mind that we can farm, have it as a business, then actually it will work. And at the same time, we can lower the prices, because I'm not sure if you know that vegetable prices here in the Philippines is high. Like, oh my God. Yeah. So we have a land, but it's not tended that much. Yeah, if there are a lot of farmers, maybe we can lower also the price. We can sell it. We can have it as a business, but we can also help others. It's really expensive.
The good trip, I'd say, the good holiday trip was back in 2019. I came last year just because of my dad, right? But I went to 2019 because I had the wedding there, and I saw like, what are these prices in the groceries? Like, I can't even afford this. Like, even working abroad, like, I'm even shocked on how expensive it is. And especially like broccoli. And broccoli here, you can buy it for $0.5. So 50 cents or something. Depends on the gram, okay? Depends if it's a small gram. But because there's only two of us at home, and then we do groceries every week, a broccoli is less than a dollar if it's small. So it's, and then if you compare it in the Philippines, it's like how much it is, like maybe 200. I don't know.
We always buy broccoli like every week. We have broccoli and cauliflower, and what I buy is just like a fist size one, and this is like around 75 or 55 pesos if it's fresh. Then it's expensive. If it's not that fresh, meaning it has a little brownish color on it anymore, that it will be like 45 or 35.
Still expensive.
But you have to cook it right away, because it will turn brown in the next few days. the prices here, it's a bit expensive. I'm not sure if it's from the farm because most of the farmers, they are selling it really low. If you go to Baguio, if you go to the Lagut, it's not that expensive. But if it gets into the stores, there it gets
That's major capitalism. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. That's why the farmers, I'm sad with the farmers. They farm, that's why they don't want to farm anymore. Because others buy it low, then they sell it high, like super high.
The farmers, they send their kids to school, right? So that they learn all the things that they need to learn for the corporate world. If only what they learn in school, like chemistry or something, they use it, like they breed a new type of crop or something. They use science in their farming. I think that's kind of one of the things that's lacking as well in terms of agriculture, is that the information, the science behind farming sometimes is lost. Like the kids just go to the corporate world. You know?
But we're just maybe lacking support, because I heard that DOST Philippines is, we, our dear scientists have discovered this thing that can easily grow crops, or for crops to easily not rotten and all, but we haven't used it in the Philippines. But India and Vietnam are using the Philippine technology for their rice, and it's just sad. Like, why are they using it? And we are importing rice from Vietnam. We are importing a lot of rice from Vietnam. Yeah. So hopefully that will change in the future.
So that's why also it's good that you and this podcast will be able to raise more awareness, or some of our young adults, and they will be able to impart that to their friends or even their families. It's just what you've mentioned, right? That there's just no opportunity there in the Philippines. That's why there's a brain drain.
Opportunity is less.
Yeah.
Sadly, it's less, but still hoping that, still hoping in the future. Let's hope for a brighter future.
Yes.
For the young ones.
Yes, exactly. Even just a budding entrepreneur. So there are a lot of struggles and learnings that you've learned. And could you share to us, like, how you've dealt with a particular struggle, such as like some planning or legalities in general?
Yeah, in business, the notion is that people think that, I would stop my work and go to business, because business, I have my own time, I can do anything, I can do everything. Why do I work for others while I can work it for myself? So that's the basic regular notion for having a business. But in reality, business is really hard. Before, it was just like, okay, I just sell tablaya and that's it. But as I wanted to expand more and really have tablaya kisses like a budding business, things get difficult. So one of it is like becoming internally motivated. Because when you're working in a corporate or in an office, you just have to show up for your 8-hour job and everything is in there. Your task list is ready, their process is ready, the strategies of the business, what the business, your company is, everything is set up for you. But for business, you have to do it for your own. So I have to work on the marketing, I have to work on the strategies. Well, then another thing is like fear of rejection. In business, you have to deal with a lot of people. You have to deal with the logistics company. You have to deal with your producers, on my end, the tablaya makers, and my sister, who is the one operating in Bohol, the resellers. So you have to deal with other people. I have to contact for businesses where to put my tablaya, and I have a fear of being rejected. Maybe because as a human, we don't want being to say no. So it's one struggle that personally, that's one of my struggle. I don't want to hear no for an answer. And if I get being rejected, then I get sad, I get devastated, and I feel that I don't want to push through, like a lot of concerns, a lot with the business. But I love so many things that also I learned. So how you plan things, how the strategies you want everything to be perfect, it will never be perfect. So you just have to execute, like just work on it, then learn in the long run, because you need to accept that things will never be perfect, because with that you will have like less frustrations. Like I learned it the hard way. So I make things that as much as possible, the process is right. So I'll do this. I contact this. So this will, the turnaround time is this, but I don't have that plan. Example, I was thinking that, oh, the people creating the tablea will finish this in 3 days, in 5 days. So can I have it delivered afterwards? But I forgot that they also have concerns in their own. Before, I easily get frustrated that the tablea is not here in a week and I need to deliver it right then and there. Don't think that every strategist or everything that you'll do will get perfect, because it will not. Just do it right away. Just execute, because in the long run, you will just learn from it.
I agree. Even though like I do not have a business, I could imagine that it's really hard for you, especially if you are still starting in even startup ventures, like those backed by venture capital. Startups are even having a hard time, right? So how much more the small businesses, local businesses, which is not backed by venture capital. The things that our Zesties should learn first and foremost, that they would learn if they want to start a new business or to go to this road of womanpreneurship.
For me, the first thing is you just need to start right away. If you wanted to have business, start right away. Don't think anything else. Like, start right away. Because in business, time is of the essence. Because if you think of something, if you don't start with it, then there's another person who will start. Then another thing is, like, execution is better than perfection. You have to act right away. Because perfection will slow you down. Because if you execute right then and there, you easily hear the feedback of others, so then you can just work on the flaws as you go along. Then another one is listen to feedback from other people. Because if you're a startup business, you tend to do the things all by yourself. There are people who told me, my husband, he gives me advice, and sometimes I don't want to listen because I think this is the right thing to do until I hit an obstacle. So I realized that it's good if we listen to other people, because they can see something that you can't if you are having your own business, because there are things that you're already clouded, and most of the time your judgment is already fixed. So if there's another eyes or if who can see another aspect of your business, then it's really good. And also, never stop learning. Every business is different, but generally it's the same. Different in the sense that we have different products, different services to offer, but it's always it's also general, because the struggles that they are doing is it's just the same, dealing with other people, dealing with yourself. In our days, we have YouTube. We can easily watch inspirations. We can easily learn from other online. And there are a lot of webinars we can join. Government also offers seminars or webinars for startup businesses, and it's really good. And there are a lot of mentorship online. That's it. And lastly is never be afraid of failure and never get devastated, because failure will, it's a cliche that you will learn from your failure. And it's true with that. Everything is, in every failure, is a one step closer to progress. I think that's one of the greatest value in business. Before, there are times that if there are people who buys my tablea, I'm really happy, but there are down times that no one cares about your business. And it's just that there are really There are just down times. So you just have to accept it.
Actually, relate to that as well. Not in the business point of view, but creative works or creative ventures, like say, for example, the podcast. I was a guest at the podcast way back, I think last year, with a friend. I was already a listener of podcasts and a lot of podcasts. So I didn't initially thought of starting my own. And then when that opportunity came in, then I said, oh, it's quite fun. I thought about, like, in January that, okay, I'll just start a podcast. Now it's like I'm almost 3 months in the running and I have some episodes already and some booked guests. And it's, yeah, and I could say that if I haven't started at that time in January, then I would have lost the motivation to go on. Like, you get lazy, right? If you don't execute it right away.
Yes, agree. And I'm really, like, inspired by you with that one. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a content creator myself, so I do blog. I started blogging 2008, then 2010. And there's that new thing called YouTube. So create content on YouTube. So I have so many videos and I wanted to post it in YouTube since 2012, but I didn't do it right away. And as time goes by, I get less motivated until I didn't have it on there right now. And there are a lot of what ifs in my mind. I just did it like you do. Then you don't have a what ifs anymore. It's like, okay, I have this, I did this. If it works, then it's good. If it doesn't, then fine, right? That's why, like, I'm so inspired by you, because you act it right away and you told me that you're afraid and you're shy. And knowing an introvert like you, I saw you in school, in college, you just do the things by yourself, walking in the corridors with your book by yourself and me hanging with my friends. And then you're doing podcast right now. Imagine.
yeah, it was. And also a lot of people like us as well, that we don't know about something, or that fear of the unknown, right? So actually not a good speaker, and I'm socially selective, as like introvert, so that's what I call myself, socially selective.
Socially selective, that's new.
So
I'm honored to be here for a socially selective person.
Yes, I'm not that type of person that could easily approach other people, I'd say. And doing a podcast and it, with the format of interviewing, because I wanted to connect more, because I know that's what I need to work on. And there's also about the analysis paralysis aspect, like you analyze so much that you couldn't launch it, right?
Then I was just realized that, yeah, in business, there are ups and downs, especially if it's in the market, there's what you call tabo. So tabo is the day when there are a lot of customers. There's that one days in every week that there are a lot of people. And there's always that day that there's none or only a few. Your business or your tableya is not good. It just means that maybe they have just many tableya they're not using. That's why they don't use it anymore. That's why they don't buy to you. But if they're out of tableya, then for sure they will get back to you. And that's what happens.
Resilience is a key, right? If you're an entrepreneur, maybe sometimes some people aren't aware of the product itself, right? So that's when your digital marketing skills come in.
Yeah. I'm working in a digital marketing industry. It helps, actually. It did me good in terms of business, because what I do in our company is that I deal with business owners, I deal with CEOs, I create their online marketing campaigns, their digital marketing campaigns, how we market their products, their store, their online stores. And with the digital, like, marketing, it's like easy. Well, I don't want to brag, but it's easy for me to market online, to work online, because it's what I do professionally. So marketing my business online is just, it's easy. That's also maybe one edge that I have, is with my digital marketing knowledge, I brought it with my own business.
So I wanted to ask you some three questions, some silly, fun questions, not related to anything of our topic today. So
okay.
First question, are you ready?
Okay.
So if you want a trip to go anywhere on Earth, where would you go?
Mongolia.
Oh. Why?
Mongolia is a part, but that's the Trans-Siberian. Is the Trans-Siberian Railway, like from Russia to China? I really wanted to do that. That I have this. Not me, but me and my husband, we have like this allotted savings. They say that I'm also a financially geek person. I love to do personal budgeting and all. And you need to match your savings or investments with your goals. So there's one particular investment we have that is set for a Trans-Siberian trip.
Hopefully soon when the borders or pandemic will be over.
Yeah, but it will be a long time. It will be a long plan because it's expensive. I need to sell more tablet.
Yeah, buy tablet, guys.
Yes.
All right. And so another question, if you could read minds, how would you use the gift?
Oh, I wanted to use it to know what do that person like so that I can sell something they like.
Oh, nice. Such a womanpreneur, right?
Yes, I wanted to. Oh, what do they need so that I can create something, I can sell it to them?
Nice. Womanpreneur. And third question. Would you rather have half of your head shaved or without one eyebrow?
I love my eyebrows here and my hair intact. That's a difficult one. Where did you get these questions, me? It's like, it's more difficult than creating a business. Okay.
Anything goes.
Maybe I just want my hair half bald. Half bald, right? Yes, because I was thinking of one eyebrows. It looks like I will look like an alien.
It's like Kilay is life, right? Kilay is life.
Yeah, Kilay is life. For everyone, Kilay is life. Like, they fix it. But Kilay is life for me. I don't touch anything in my Kilay, my eyebrows. If I attend events, weddings, and all, most of the makeup artists, they shaved a little on what it shape. But me, ever since, my eyebrows are intact. They're just the same eyebrows when I was a kid. I always told them, can you just like paint on it that they look good? You don't have to shave it.
Me, I think I would prefer eyebrow. Kilay is life for me as well, but I think I would prefer without one eyebrow, like the actual eyebrow, because I can draw on it. I'll just draw it on my, right?
Yeah.
Where can our Zesties find you or the Tableya?
Oh, yes. Zesties, please buy Tableya so that I can help our Tableya makers, Tableya artisans in Hagna, Bohol. You can just search it in Facebook or Instagram. It's Tableya Kisses. So the Tableya spelling is T-A-B-L-E-Y-A. Tableya Kisses in Facebook and in Instagram. And I'm always online. And please support our Filipino tradition and help me and other Tableya sellers and Tableya artisans to retain our Filipino-owned culture, the Tableya, the Sikwati culture, and buy Tableya Kisses. Buy Tableya Kisses or other Tableyas.
Yeah. And for our international Zesties, you ship internationally, right?
Yes, for our international Zesties, we have a Tableya reseller in Japan. So she has a store there. It's in Izusuka Shen, and yeah, I ship internationally, and I'm still looking for international Asian stores and Filipino stores to partner with so that you can easily buy Tableya.
Oh, that's awesome. All right.
Yeah, that's goal.
Right. All right. So thank you so much for your time today and sharing your experiences and tips for our Zesties, and yeah, thank you so much, Giselle.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Glee, and I hope everyone listening all the sisters will learn a bit something, or I'm giving value to you guys. And thank you so much, Lee.